following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
And welcome to Corolla Classics for June 23rd, 2019, the show where we highlight the greatest moments of The Adam Carolla Show. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody.
And hello to you, Gio. I am excited. We have an incredible show lined up today. We teased it yesterday.
It feels like part two, like a continuation of yesterday's episode.
It does. These shows are flowing into each other. It's legato. I can't wait, because you know how much I love these Green Machine clips. So let's just get going. This one's from 2018. Vinny Tortorich comes in to talk about Green Machine with Dawson, right?
Adam Carolla Show, 2338. It's an episode that featured Dexter Holland, Nick Hexum, Vinny Tortorich, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. Before Dexter and Nick join them, Vinny comes in the studio, and they finally try to put this whole Green Machine thing to bed. It is hilarious and difficult.
Being on time is a habit like brushing your teeth or wiping your ass. You don't have to do it, but if you do, life is going to be so much better.
And always use a different brush. I've learned that the hard way.
Wait a minute,
oral
what?
Fecal route. Talk to Dr. Drew about it, but use a separate brush with the toothbrush and the ass brush. I agree with Vinny Tortorich 100%.
On your feet to clean your seat.
All right. Speaking of that. I saw Dawson in here making a burrito about 10:30 in the morning the other
right.
day, and I had questions.
It was Saturday. It wasn't even a work day.
It was multiple.
You had burrito questions.
I had burrito questions, then I had buying bulk burrito questions, and then I had general dietary needs questions, and I've traveled around with Dawson. I've seen him order pina coladas in the middle of the night in Amsterdam and stuff like that. I don't see his weight fluctuate, so I'm always sort of curious
in Amsterdam,
how that
pina
worked.
Colada?
It's a whole nother show.
You didn't know?
Don't stop down on that. Baby. We'll never get through this.
I've been to Amsterdam. You love smoking pot. What were you doing with a pina colada?
Another story for another day.
You have to be pretty damn high.
All right. So I then got into the routine. He said he drinks a big thing, a Green Machine, in the morning and at night. Now, whenever I hear green drink, a little alarm goes off in my head, which is... I don't know. There are a couple that are just it's pressed parsley and kale and spinach, right. And that's it. But that's not – Dawson would not enjoy that at all.
No, that tastes like crap.
Right. So we got into the Green Machine from the Naked Juice, and the front and center is a picture of some broccoli on there.
Broccoli's in the foreground, which is a bit misleading.
A little bit misleading.
Surrounded by three fruits.
So then I said to Dawson, why with the Green Machine? And he said, that's how I get my vegetable. I get a nice vegetable dose in there, no sugar added, blah, blah, blah. And I said, how's it taste? And he said, tastes like pineapple. And I said, well, how does the broccoli taste like pineapple? And he said, well, it must have some pineapple juice in there.
Right.
And I said, yeah, that's But that's what
the
you don't.
Sweetest
you,
of all
you don't want
fruits.
To drink that. And he said it's natural sugar. Vinny, can you please, and I want you to be your own worst critic here.
Okay.
Natural sugar versus that which would be in the pineapple juice in the Green Machine versus just plain old white sugar in a sack, per gram. Are you going to tell me it's exactly the same, or can you go, well, it's a little, and I don't want the part where you go, well, there's some fiber in that. I just mean sugar to sugar, white on white crime.
They're all exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Identical. Sugar comes from fruit. White sugar, most of it comes from sugar cane or beets. You can extract sugar from a pineapple. It's the same sugar. The molecular structure is identical. The only one that's a little higher, and people confuse fructose, which comes from fruit, which is all sugar, with high fructose corn syrup. That's the only one that's slightly worse because it's not even a whole molecule. It's a piece of an atom added onto a molecule that could make that one a little worse, but they're all equally bad.
If I took a glass... And one glass has had 8 ounces of water and you know, 20 grams of sugar in it stirred up. And that was it, just from a sugar bowl in it. And the other was pineapple juice removed of all other nutrients.
Right.
It would be exactly the same.
Identical.
Okay. All right. That's the jumping off point. I think a lot of people, including our own Mike Dawson, think natural sugar is better than...
I think most people think natural sugar is better than fructose.
Right, but you see...
No, I'm not saying...
But fructose is sugar.
Dawson, first off, I said most people, so you don't have to emphasize most people.
Sorry.
I'm saying I think most...
I was just making fun of the way Vinny said fructose, which none of you picked up on.
We did. We just let it go.
A room full of fructose.
He's from... He's born on a swamp.
He's from the bayou.
You ever seen the movie The Water Boy? That was Vinny.
That's not far from the truth.
That's a documentary.
All right, so most people think natural is better. They don't really realize it's all just sugar. Okay, now let's break down the green machine, Vinny.
Right.
The green machine has what in it? Well, you can take a look at the thing.
Well, if you're asking me, it says apple number one. So that's apple juice. That's pure sugar. It's got apple juice by itself is worse than a Coca-Cola. Just by itself, and that's the first ingredient.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because it has more sugar?
More sugar than a Coca-Cola.
And that's what we force-feed kids at lunch,
right,
at preschool.
You see, when President Clinton, the Clinton that got in, took all the sodas out of school, they didn't remove the soda machines. They just filled them with juice. So it was just a lateral move. Actually, it was a worse move because now kids thought they were getting something healthy, but they weren't. Right. And then you're looking at ingredient number two, mango puree. Okay.
Did he do the puree and I do the puree?
You said puree.
I've been saying puree. Right. Okay.
So. I'm from Louisiana. Puree is the way you say
that's the way you say it, right?
Like an étouffée.
It's the two E's that screw me up.
If you look at it, the second and third ingredient is mango, and then you have pineapple juice, and then banana puree again. The problem with those are they took all of the tropical fruit, which are the ones highest in sugar. They have more sugar, and put them all at the top. And then you get to, you know, kiwi and this sort of thing, spirulina, which is BS. You don't even get to broccoli until after alfalfa, which is almost impossible to do.
Well, Dawson's hanging his hat on getting a dose of broccoli out of this drink.
You would probably have to have, I don't want to exaggerate, I'm going to say 100.
Somebody tweeted. What was the tweet number? I didn't even see the tweet.
It's got to be a high. I could be off, but it's got to be a bunch to even get one sprig of broccoli.
353, to be precise.
You'd have to drink 353 green machines to get one serving of broccoli. That's half cup of raw broccoli.
Yeah, a serving of broccoli. So I was talking one
353
sprig,
of these to get a half cup of broccoli. Now, Dawson, what was your reply on that?
I said I did my own math and zero people care.
That's good. That's right. Good.
But
that's why I love you, brother.
But Dawson, if your mission statement when we initially brought this up was to consume some broccoli.
That is what I had been doing for a very long time. I actually thought the green machine was a substitute.
Right.
So I went to the green machine.
Right.
But now that we know there's no broccoli in it, it seems like you're hurting your own mission statement.
Kaylin, throw up the picture of my breakfast this morning. Broccoli is now the number one ingredient
yeah.
in the blender.
Green machine.
So
it's a broccoli flutter.
You are doing broccoli in the blender now with pineapple.
That's a big fist full of broccoli.
Nice.
Good.
In the green machine.
There you go.
All right, we're back. Gio, you know why I love these clips is Dawson gets a little combative / passive aggressive, but whatever it is, he never bends, and that's why Dawson's Dawson, right?
Trying not to laugh.
It's so good. He's so good.
I keep thinking about his calzone cheese preferences.
Did you hear when he read "Before I Die" and just couldn't stop?
Oh yeah,
laughing?
We already tweeted somebody wants to request as a Cruel classic. It's one of the funniest bits ever. I love it when Dawson loses his stuff.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing. So that's going to be coming up. It's too soon to play it this week.
I handed that list to him shortly before he read it. So I don't think he really got to take a look at what was ahead.
I feel like you need to do that from all of the books now. Because clearly he hasn't read Adam's books.
He has. He records all of Adam's audiobooks.
Yeah.
So
He's been there present for them. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he just tuned it out.
He does do a lot. No, actually, when we do audiobooks, we're always following along with the book, making sure Adam read it correctly. And then when we edit, because Adam is not the greatest reader, shocking. So he does a lot of pauses or a lot of redos and things like that, and we have to edit them. I did Not Talkable Material, a good portion of it, but Dawson did all of the other ones.
That's interesting. It was funny with Adam's inability to read. When he was coming up, there was like a whole bunch of things where he didn't want to read cue cards at like Talk Soup one time, and they freaked out on him. But meanwhile, like, they didn't know that he was basically borderline illiterate, so they thought he was like pulling the diva move. It's just funny that, like, if he was a different person or different something else and he had this affliction, I think people would be a lot more sensitive to it. But because he's who he is, people are like, what do you mean you can't read?
Yeah. It's weird because he's such a brilliant mind, but he does have a lot of trouble reading, and that is because of the L.A. Unified School District.
A fundamental familial neglect. I mean, it's up to your parents and up to your school to get that stuff into you first grade. Like, that's very important, and it just... I think that's when he was moving cross country as well, because he was in New Jersey. He was in New Jersey, and then he was in like Wisconsin or somewhere, and then he was in Los Angeles like 5 or 6.
He's all over the place. All right, let's keep the clips moving here. This next one, we were talking about how often Adam was traveling when he was young. Well, that doesn't change, Gio, because he still travels a lot now. And Matt Fondelier went with him to DC in 2014.
Adam Carolla Show 1332 is an episode that features Sasha Gray and David J and Def Rat Guy. This is before Sasha Gray and David J join them in the studio, and before Def Rat Guy, Ab and Matt recount their trip to D.C., how they stopped in Minneapolis, and they ended up having a date night. It's hilarious. Matt has a really sweet closer about what the fans kind of mean to him and what the experience was like for him, so it's really interesting to kind of see this through a fresh perspective. He's like the audience's eyes for this. And then Def Rat Guy joins him in studio, and we get an epic series of All Balls JV, JV All Balls.
Let's go.
So Matt hung out. We landed in D.C., ran into Eric Stromer, like, getting off the plane. Like, just ran into him in Washington, D.C.
Totally surreal.
Just banged into our good friend Eric Stromer, walking off the plane. We then went on a bunch of book signings and so on and so forth. Matt and I made some time to get some German food and some Polish food.
So good. You always talk about needing to have that kind of food when you're on that coast because you just can't get it here.
Yeah.
And I'm from here too, so it was really a treat.
Matt had never had cabbage before.
It was it was like a burrito filled with stuffed cabbage.
Called stuffed cabbage.
Whatever. Right. It was good.
So then we went down to Washington, D.C., and I was going to talk to a bunch of junior congressional whoever's about this patent trolling business. We had this moment on the way in. We had the driver who used to conduct tours. Once a tour guide, always a tour guide, I would say. You know, especially when you're driving and there are people in the car who aren't from the area. You can't flick that switch off, you know. And we stopped. We're right in there in the, I don't know, the main mall. Where all the big buildings are.
Yeah, it was right near, like, the Supreme Court and Capitol building.
Certain point, we stopped at a red light, and it was that thing where it's like his bumper and front tire was in the intersection, but he didn't make it to the halfway point of the intersection. If the intersection, the crosswalk, I should say, if the crosswalk was 8 feet wide, he was 3 foot into it and against the right curb. And which I realize I do all the time. I rarely stop behind the first line. I'm sort of past the first line and into the second line. But a very angry young gal, white woman, 30, would you say?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Was on her, like mountain bike and was, like, coming the other direction. She was, you know, wearing a helmet, looked like she'd ridden a bike before and stuff. And she, like, stopped and she looked at all of us and she was like, whoa, what's up? And we're like, I don't know. What's up? You know? And she's like, what? And she's like pointing at our car and
the driver's not moving the car because he's just as kind of petrified as we all are.
But But we're not doing, he stopped at a light, and she's supposed to be crossing, but she's not, she refuses to cross. She instead like, wants to know why the car's one tire into her crosswalk, which is otherwise empty. And she says, whoa, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, those people are just fucking pre-insulted. Now, how does the rest of her life work? How does everything go? Because this is three strangers in a Denali. One of them's wearing a suit. That's the guy who's driving the car. And we're literally stopped at a red light. And you have a huge beef with us. And massive beef. And we have no, there's no other relationship we have with you in your life. It's not like, well, we just teamed her and finished with a bukkake and then we all high-fived and left her apartment. We've never seen you before and you're screaming at us.
And it wasn't a crazy inconvenience either, because it's not like just a regular curb. Like, it sloped down. I think there actually is a picture of the height of the curb that we're blocking.
I mean, if only there was a way to turn the wheel on a bike.
Her whole thing was like, what's up? And the driver was like, just go. Just go ahead. Just ride. It wasn't even really even a go-round move. It just kind of go in front of us and cross. And she was like, the curb, meaning they, first off, they put those things in there for handicapped people. The little dip, the little run-up, the driveway that goes onto the curb. Remember when curbs used to just be curbs and then they put the handicap thing? But this curb was 5.5 inches high. It was this high. So it was the height of a double burgered in and out. Like, literally, she's on a mountain bike. She literally could have just either rode off it or pushed off it or just went on. I don't know where the issue was, but she was screaming at us. There's a picture. I told Matt, you can go down to crawl.com and take a picture.
We have a couple different angles of this very difficult terrain.
Gary's always going to show you the least satisfying one at the beginning. But that's the crosswalk. There's a curb and then 4 inches worth of nothing.
Yeah, like, I mean, it almost looks like less than 4 inches.
I don't even know
what.
See,
no problem.
No, she's there's a good shot. There's a nice definitive shot. She's screaming at us, screaming. Also, what happens when something real happens in this person's life? Like, what happens when somebody wants a divorce, or somebody got caught cheating, or somebody got shorted on their taxes? Or like,
wouldn't
I mean,
it be funny if it's the exact same response. That's her only response.
Well, you don't get much bigger than what we got.
Plus, what are you doing screaming at a black car with tinted windows? You don't know who's in the passenger seat.
That's the whole thing. It's like, what if we're just some fucking rappers trying to get some street cred and I just come out with a Glock? Like, what? There's three dudes, average weight, 204 pounds, like sitting in this car with the smoke windows. Like, you're screaming at them. You're just one chick on a fucking mountain bike. Anyway, that felt super good. Then I went in and spoke to the junior congressional people about the patent trolling and what a scourge it was. And they promised me how they had bipartisan support for this bill that was going through. And then we got in our car to go to Richmond, Virginia. And an hour later, the phone rang. It's shot down. It's gone. Like that scene from Goodfellas. What happened? Leahy got rid of it. Why? It's done. It's gone. Moving on. Because, like, the great thing is when Leahy shot it down, he's like the congressman from Vermont. He was like, we all agree there needs to be patent trolling reform and patent reform. We all agree this is a very important issue. Just not this time around.
I think it said, we'll readdress this next year. Like,
Right. I'm going to let the Trial Lawyers Association and Big Pharma and, by the way, big colleges all fucking run amok. And the guys that are paying for my reelection and paying for my last election, well, I'll let them get another year. And then we can come back and readdress it. They're all so fucking bought and paid for. It's absolutely insane. It's fucking insane. Everyone just goes, even they go, oh, well, we got a problem here. There's nothing. We can't do anything about it. If you guys, people have sent me a few articles on it, but it's pretty simple. They have people that contribute a lot of money to their campaigns that don't want this patent form or this patent trolling reform. They don't want it because they make a bunch of money.
You feel like it was a done deal before you even went there?
Our government is becoming brazen now. Like, I feel like they used to do things a little more quietly, and it was a little more of a back room kind of move. Now it's just like, now, I don't know. It's supposed to be important, but yet, no. But again, this notion that you can have special interest groups just go up there with sacks of money and get their way, even though it hurts most Americans, doesn't feel quite right to me. But so it felt nice to get yelled at by the cunt and then spend 3 hours over there in Capitol Hill doing nothing and then just fucking drive to Richmond and just find out, like, he just shot it down.
How does that work when you're speaking on Capitol Hill? I mean, has someone asked you questions or are you...
This isn't barely that. This is just me in a room talking to, you know, junior assistants of junior senators. Like, I didn't even know what it was, Matt.
Well, you were telling your story. I mean, these supposedly they were all supposed to vote on this bill. So, you know, they have the kind of language that the bill's written in. But Adam has his own business and he could really speak from his own experience to kind of show how these patent trolls actually affect the business. But, you know, ultimately, as Adam said, they kind of were like, well, this bill kind of encapsulates a little too much. We need to kind of think about it a little bit more, so it just kind of was for nothing. But you can go to fundanything.com/patent troll to help us here on the pirate ship.
We'll fight the battle ourselves. So again, if you think Congress is going to help, fucking keep holding your breath, everybody. They are fucking bought and sold by the Trial Lawyers Association. All right. When we're walking through Minneapolis after eating Polish food, ran into a homeless guy who said, I look just like Adam Carolla. I wonder if I ever got that before.
If only he knew.
That was kind of funny. Yeah. You know, you've arrived when the homeless recognize you.
I wonder what he knew you from.
I don't know. We're just walking across a bridge is where you expect to encounter homeless people. And he said, like, anyone ever tell you look just like Adam Carolla?
What'd you say?
Yeah. It happens all the time. And then we talked for a while, and they wanted to know where to get some water, stuff like that.
There's some restaurants down there.
And we talked about how to pronounce the restaurant, all that kind of shit, and then he went on his way. But he never even did a double take or anything. He just kind of stuck with it. had a nice, cute moment with Matt. Matt, go behind you and flip the switch on for the air. Would you please? Getting a little warm in here. Matt got to experience a firsthand my insane schedule, and he was starting to come undone toward, by the time we got to the Mall America of America in Minneapolis, he was getting tired. And then we watched Godzilla together.
It's awesome.
And then he was really getting tired. So, but we didn't have, it was the first time we didn't have a, you know, crack a fuck flight the next day. So when we got back to our hotel, which was our first nice hotel, or was certainly one of the nicer ones I'd been at in a while, and it was attached to the Mall of America, I said, there's a nice bar on the way out. So I said, why don't we stop, have a little nightcap, and just enjoy ourselves for a change instead of running all over
date
the place.
Night.
Date
yeah,
night
exactly.
With Matt. And we sat down, and Matt got a Diet Coke and Jack.
Hell yeah.
I got a glass of wine. And then almost out of my movie, because there's a scene in a movie, there were a table of six cougars over at the end.
Girls'
drunk,
night.
Girls' night out. Getting drunk, had to come over there, take a picture, blah, blah, blah. And it was nice. It was a little bit, at a certain point, I they didn't know how tired I was, but I just sort of said, like, I got to go back to my table now. And when we got back to the table, they'd bought us a round, which was nice, but I could see Matt was starting to fall asleep while I was talking. Like, I feel his head tilt. He's starting to tip over. He was nodding. Like,
I made the mistake also of doing the whiskey, which I know is my nightcap drink, and obviously not expecting a second round. So when that second one came down, I wasn't even done with the first. Ooh, that was
getting
a little bit rough.
He was coming undone. He probably hit a saturation level with me and my stories and pontifications because we've been sitting in the back of town cars, in the back of driving from D.C. to Richmond and sitting in airport bars and just, you know, he probably had about enough of me at the time, but literally falling asleep while I was talking to him.
Well, we had just finished watching Godzilla, which was about 30 minutes too long, in my opinion. Very complex story for us to discuss. So, yeah, it was getting a little late at that point.
Yeah, I was doing round number four on Bryan Cranston's hair and what the fuck. I'll get to that. Gary, I can't believe you didn't say anything about Cranston's hair in that movie. It's insane.
I felt really disappointed that I had ruined the whole Cranston thing for you in the first
place,
so I didn't want to go any further. But yes, it was insane. I agree.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What else? Oh, we had this one. We had a when we're doing our signing in Chicago, outside of Chicago, somewhere in Illinois, we had a cop there. And he was a young, ambitious, eager guy. He was a huge fan. And he said, I'm going to give you a police escort to the signing with Richard Roper, to the book, to the books. We're having a little confab with Richard Roper and a few people in the audience. And I don't know, what was it, 30 miles away, 25 miles away?
Yeah, we were running a little bit late to the signing, so we could use the extra time.
All right. But I said, now, I don't know how many people are wired this way, but I said, we don't need a police escort. And he said, no, it's cool. And I said, are you going to be stopping people like, hey, you can't get on this road because I got to go and Adam's got to go? Because I don't want that. I'm all for, listen, I drive through red turn arrows all fucking day long, but it doesn't hold anyone else up. If it held somebody up, if me going through red arrows meant somebody had to wait for the signal to cycle, I wouldn't do it. I don't like taking cuts, so to speak. So this guy's like, no, I'll just put on the rollers and I go out in front of you and the driver just follows me. And we're like, okay, all right, well, let's do it. Let's get a police. And he fired up his siren and got his rollers going and hopped out in front of us. And we got about 250 yards down the road. And Matt said his jurisdiction's only about half a mile, so he's got to pull over. And then he pulled over, and then we're just on our own for the other 25.7 miles. Like, he escorted us out of the parking lot, essentially. He didn't tell us that his shit ended. It was funny because it was one long straightaway with no signal. So it was like,
I feel like they should tell you that.
We didn't get anything out of it because it was just like us getting on a straightaway and going anyway. Except for we did have to wait a couple extra seconds for him to get out in front of us. And there's a little confusion.
There was that moment, though, where I looked at you and I was like, this is it. This is the best it's ever going to be. Like, following behind the police escort.
Yeah.
That was great.
Driving to Plainville or whatever the fuck it, wherever the fuck it was. All right, Matt, any thoughts? Any parting words?
Well, I'll just say, first of all, you have an unbelievable fan base because even when we drive out to towns that seem so far away, it's really incredible to see how many people show up regardless of what the event is. Book signing, Mangria, it's really incredible. Also, just my own firsthand experience, Adam's the hardest working person in the world, and part of the way he's able to get through that is he's always thinking 10 steps ahead. And I think that to me was something that I learned in the planning of the trip, you know, working with the publicist. Like, you have to really be ready for any number of things down the line. Case in point, having an in-town photographer help speed the line along, just little things like that help if you plan for it well enough. It can actually go pretty smoothly because I thought the trip actually went really smoothly.
Yeah, it did. We had no real issues. Matt was a delight.
Oh, thanks.
And this man can spoon. All right.
Who is the inside spoon?
Matt's always the outside. He's the spoon holder. He's the tray spoon that goes rest. In the drawer. He's the insert that goes inside of the drawer that keeps them separated. All right, DFG, Defrat guy coming in, Matt walking out, and Defrat guy's in here. Good to see you, DFG. Oh, he's got a natty light. What's up, man?
Dude, how you doing?
It's good.
Been a long time, no see.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Yeah, good to see you.
Hell yeah.
You got some JV all balls. I know you've been traveling around. You're sort of the Mangria ambassador now.
Dude, I was up in Washington doing the Mangria event last weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Dude, place is chill, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They love, they're big fans of the show.
Uh-huh.
And I knew it was like, first thing I get off the plane, some dude like, hey, did anybody ever tell you you sound exactly like that Frat guy?
Oh, yeah, same thing happened to you.
What?
No, I'm saying it happened to me when I was in Minneapolis.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that's the way they roll up there. They're nice, you know. Like, dude, I get off, I see these dudes, freaking two Jeeps, 25 miles per hour, two bros in there. They look like chill dudes. Past each other, do the fist bump, dude.
Wow. Fist bump.
That's how they
Jeep
roll.
To Jeep. And they didn't even know each other.
I think they may have.
Oh, they may have known each other. Yeah, but still, that's chill.
That's the way they are up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that people that love the product.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot about sales.
Sales?
Yeah. People, uh-huh. Like, first thing, I would call in, like when a new customer comes in, I'm like, oh, here comes the new victim.
Yeah.
And the dude's like calling potential customers
or right.
You know, clients. But so I'm like, I learned not, don't say victim. You know,
right, don't
you
say know. Victim. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing was, like, I was trying to maybe, like, impress ladies. So I'm like, the brosé has floral notes, melon, citrus, and it has just a hint of axe, dark temptation. And they're like, maybe don't say that, like, describe, it's a body spray, bro.
Axe, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, it's got a good smell.
Right, but don't call, like, the stuff axe if they're, like, they're going to be drinking it.
Yeah, like, it tastes like a chestnut or some shit.
Yeah, right.
So I
no, you started good with the citrus and the notes floral. Of plum and the floral, but then the axe part probably screwed people up.
And then I was like, you know, they're like, where does it come from? I'm like, it's like varietals made from grapes and shit. And they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you got everyone sort of caught up on Mangria.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to give a shout out to Wine Styles in South Riding, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They're carrying the product now.
Oh, good. They got the Mangria.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Vienna Vintner in Vienna. You ever going to find yourself in Vienna, Virginia?
Yeah, I've seen it all the time, yeah.
Go to Vienna Vintner, buy Mangria, because now they stock it.
Uh-huh.
And then Parallel Bistro in Ashburn, Virginia. They have it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Parallel Bistro.
Right. Do you have some JV or All Balls for us?
Hell yeah.
I don't know. We used to have music for that, didn't we? Oh, yeah. Brian would play it. Yeah.
It's with Brian in that fancy place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of shrinkage going on. One of them was my theme song, dude.
That's right.
Okay, dude. Okay, here we go. This will be easy because only three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wearing shades while taking a dump.
Wearing sage?
Shades.
Oh.
Shades. Oh, so
wearing sunglasses while taking a dump.
Uh-huh. Well, let's say at home, at the beach, you know, at the airport, you know what I mean? Because, if you're at home, it's kind of weird, right?
Right.
But if you're on the road, maybe trying to keep a little anonymity,
who's in there seeing you, though?
Yeah, I say JV. Seems very, very bizarre to me.
I'm going JV because you need your eyesight.
All balls.
Really?
It's all balls?
Why?
Hell yeah. Because it shows. It's like that, you know, like that little dog with a safari hat and the shades. It's like, dude, it's just bad. It shows, like, I don't give a F.
Right. Okay. Well, yes, 0-1.
Wow.
Okay. Taking a leak while jogging backwards.
Oh, yeah. Running backwards and taking a leak. Yeah, you don't know how that's such a dude thing.
Did a meatball up the middle, bro.
Yeah.
But still, I think that's all balls because you wouldn't get any on you because you're going back.
You'd think you wouldn't get any on you?
Oh, am I wrong?
It's possible to get some on you, but I still think it's all balls.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of a hard one. Riding your 10 speed with your hands locked behind your head like you're about to be serviced by a lady.
Every once in a while, you do see that guy, like, going down the Strand, you know, with his hands, his fingers, which is weird because if you keep your fingers intertwined too long and your hands get a little dry, sometimes it's hard to bust them apart for a beat. And then, you know, if you see something coming at you, like a dog that got off a leash or something, you're screwed. It's a power move. It's a show-offy power move. I do like it as it pertains to oral sex. I'm going to say all balls.
This one is challenging. I can really see the balls and the JV side of it. I'm going JV. It's just a little too much. Unless there actually is someone servicing you while you're riding.
Ooh.
That'd be all balls.
You just changed this question in his mind.
I'm going JV. You changed.
Oh, wow. This is a first.
It's like, dude, you're riding the bike, dude. Okay, look, ma, no hand. It's not like, look, ma, I'm getting some road hand while on the bike.
Right.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Okay, what about taking a shovel to the head?
Oh, you mean like that video where that poor girl got a shovel thrown at her?
Yeah, or just in general.
Oh, just in general. So maybe not connected to that? Okay. Now, are we talking about flathead, spade, snow shovel?
Same question.
Not snow shovel. Anything that's used to dig dirt.
Oh, okay.
It, it can be galvanized. It can
but it's got to be a thicker gauge shovel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wooden handle.
Yeah. So getting hit by a shovel in the head?
Taking it to the head.
Yeah. I say that's JV, right?
I totally JV.
It's all balls, dude.
What?
Huh?
This means that you have been, you have to have scars. It's like you can't be always the ass kicker.
Like a gang initiation. Like if farmers had a gang.
No, just like, dude, people like they're like, dude, I got stabbed here. Here's where I got shot. But then you're like, dude, here's where I took a shovel to the head.
Right.
I think it's all bald.
Yeah, you may be right.
Yeah, I mean put it that
if
way.
You survived and once you get your speech back and stuff like that, you're gonna be glad you got that scar.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something to show for it.
And then I got two more. Then this comes from a dude I met up there, chill bro, Rich from Mocotillo, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to know if it's JV or all ball to have your stomach pumped.
Oh, stomach pumped. Yeah, there used to be a lot of that. Rod Stewart had to get his stomach pumped, yeah. Because he drank, a couple gallons of semen?
Yeah, beer, whatever it was, whiskey, I don't know.
No, he drank.
Yeah, it was jizz.
It was jizz.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Fact. Yeah. It's a fact.
Yeah. You didn't know that? It was like a ookie cookie game, but with just a barrel
Without
of cookie
the cookies.
Juice. Yeah, just no cookies and a barrel of ookie.
Ookie cookie.
Fuck Rod Stewart for that.
Hmm?
No, whatever, dude. It's his life. It's your own life, dude. That's what I learned.
Right.
You have to have an open mind.
Yeah. No, all right. So stomach pumped.
And then this, yesterday we know was Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
But what about dudes that, like, when they go out, they're like, I got to buy those troops a round of drinks.
Yeah, no, I like that guy.
Okay, all balls.
Oh, no, but wait a minute.
We're
going to get the stomach pumped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's... I'm going to go all balls. It shows that you are living life.
I'm going all balls just like you want to show the person the scar where you got hit with the shovel, and that was the same night you got your stomach pumped.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what caused the guy to come after you with the shovel.
Why did you get your stomach pumped? Oh, I was out buying some round of drinks for troops, and then I took a shovel to the head, and I blacked that, then got my stomach pumped.
I want
to
know that guy.
Oh, and then I got some road hand by a lady on my bike.
That's right. It's a fucking full. It's a 3-day weekend.
Sounds like a good weekend to me. And I just wanted to give one more shout out to. It's a bro named FN Seaward.
FN Seaward?
He's a fan. I don't know what the Twitter, whatever, dude.
Right.
This dude's been hitting the natty ice hard lately.
Uh huh.
He just found out that his chick has been sucking more trout than a school of lamprey eels. So, dude, get better. Just get on with your life. Hell yeah. He can go on the website, buy a new All Balls t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, it's handsome. It's very handsome.
It's
distinguished.
All Balls, the full gamma that says, if you're not waiting, today is.
Yeah, you can go to adamcarolla.com. You can see the picture of the DFG.
Picture of balls with sunglasses and a hat.
And I think a cigarette.
And a cigarette, yeah.
Too.
Sometimes I'll put little, whiskers on it to make it,
disguised?
He didn't wax it.
Right.
Not permanent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then...
You have one more DFG?
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to also thank the dudes up in Washington because we started three new Delta Food chapters up there.
Wow.
Bellingham, Central Washington State University have one now. Mm-hmm. We got one in Fountain Hill, the University of Arizona. What's up, K-Dog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, the last one is the script neck tattoo that says family.
Oh, the neck tattoo.
In like old English script.
But like family.
Right, family. Mm-hmm. And we assume it's their family, you know. Not a rant, not that
not
70s
Manson
sitcom. Wasn't there a sitcom?
There was, called Family.
With the world's most depressing mom?
And Dick Van, was it Dick Van Patten?
No, that was Eight is Enough.
Oh, this, you all blend.
Was
Buffy on this one?
Family Guy.
No, that was Family Affair. Shit. we got to figure.
I'm looking at it. Was there someone named Vicky? Oh, this no, that, family
Vicky was the robot from Small Wonder.
Yes, and it stood for something.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like, I was up on Capitol Mountain up there with the congressional thingy, talking to the, you know, law folks about
that place
making
the
making the bill thing from the change for the what you do when you try to get the law to be different, you know? Yeah.
All right. It ran from 1976 to 1980, and Kate Lawrence, was that the mother?
Yeah, and you'll recognize the daughter, because that was...
Christy McNichol!
Christy McNichol!
Oh, yes.
Come on now.
And Meredith Baxter was on it as well.
Before she was a Bernie.
That's right.
Yeah, super depressing, and Mom was super depressed. All right, and it was a horrible sitcom, because it wasn't even really a sitcom.
But, dude, you know, like on Three's Company, those old sitcoms?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stars, man, those... Dudes would get more beaded clam than a marine biologist who specializes in pituitary disorders.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to say a family on the neck. I'll tell you what. If you're black or Hispanic, I'll give you a pass. If you're white or Eastern Indian, no.
What about South Asian, you know, Indian,
from
India?
No. I only make a black or Hispanic. I got to have black or Hispanic. I'll give you a pass. And by the way, I'm not going to ask anything about the tattoo or the questions with what's going on with the family or how's the mom and the kids doing. Like, nah, none of that.
It's not the icebreaker that the person intends it to be?
Probably not.
I'm going JV all around.
I have to go JV.
Okay. All right. You tell that to the very proud black man.
Look, dude, if you love your family, go, like, take them out to Chuck E. Cheese. Don't go get a tattoo. Spend $500 to get a tattoo that shows that you're not there taking them to Chuck E. Cheese.
All right, we have an outro, by the way, for the deaf frat guy.
Well, bro.
What?
Wait, I'm not going to be in here with Tasha Gray?
Oh, Sasha Gray?
Well, can I meet her?
I guess you could go over and stand where Brian stands if you'd like to meet Sasha Gray.
Just wanted to.
You are a big fan
of
her?
I want to explore her sexuality, a film.
Yeah, I know. You've watched her a lot.
I want to be able to explore my sexuality on film.
With her or just in general?
Well, no, I don't know, dude.
All right,
it's different for a lady.
Yeah, do you want to.
Hell yeah. She's very beautiful.
Maybe you could vacate the absence in the world of adult film that she left. I mean, maybe you could take it over.
I saw her in a porn this morning, bro.
No, I know, but she stopped doing movies.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, you saw her in something she did, you know,
creates
before,
opportunity
earlier.
For you.
Yeah, it was on, like, the Porn Eskimo or one of them things for free.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's how she gets rich. All right, DFG.
Hell yeah.
You can hang out then.
Okay, thank you, bro.
I
appreciate it.
Yeah, no.
I worked like a dog for you this weekend, bro.
No, I appreciate you being the, you know, official ambassador for Mangria. You're my Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, dude. I like this new job of being the executive president.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what
of regional sales.
Okay. I mean, whatever you want to put on the card's fine with me. Okay. No? Thank you.
That was JV, or All Balls, with Deaf Frat Guy. Brought to you by Mangria.
All right. All right. Where else? Sasha's out there. Let's take a phone call or two, and then we'll get to it. Joseph, 31, Scotland.
Yes, hello.
How are you, Joseph?
Fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. What's up?
I just have a little problem with my sister. She's not the smallest girl. She's got a bit of a weight problem, and she kind of secludes herself away.
You know what I gotta say? I gotta say this about women. When they go and sort of turn in on themselves, they sit around and eat and cut on themselves and watch shitty TV shows, but they don't go on shooting sprees. So I gotta hand that to the ladies.
Well, thanks. We'll take it.
Yeah. You turn in, meaning whatever that rage is gets turned in on yourself. Occasionally, you know, when you're driving through the mall and your car pulls into the, in a crosswalk, you get screamed at by one of them on a bicycle. But mainly...
Not the mass strafing.
It's not the mass stuff. Right. So how old is your sister?
She's 29.
And why are you calling from Scotland? What are you doing over there?
I've been living here for about 18 years now.
Wow. So more than half of your adult life.
Yes.
So Madonna goes to England for 15 minutes and sounds like a Monty Python sketch, and then you've lived there since you were 14, and I can't hear anything in your voice?
No, it depends on who you talk to, but yeah, a lot of people over here think I sound Irish.
Okay, all right. Does your sister have any other problems besides being introverted?
Well, like I say, there's the weight thing, there's the introversion. She's had friends and things in the past, but she kind of shuns them all a little bit.
When you say weight thing, how much of a weight thing?
Well, she's pretty big. I don't have the exact weight, but she's pretty big.
What's the first number?
How many stone does she weigh?
Yeah, that's a Scotland thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Me personally, I'm about 15, so I think maybe round about where I am, maybe a bit more. I don't know. I never ask.
They step up to boulders.
15 stone, now what, that's like 800-900 pounds?
No.
Roughly, yeah.
All right. So, you know, I don't know why this sounds incredibly easy and maybe too easy, but everything that's good that's ever happened in anyone's life, whenever they've had to deal with something, has always began with a walk. When people just go, I just started walking. I don't know why. Every weight loss, every coping with the death of, everything starts off with a walk.
And there's something really easy about talking to someone else when both of you are facing the same direction. It's less intense than when you're making eye contact.
I concur, because it's like you have to go eye contact, then you look down, then you look back up again. I mean, that's why DFG wears the sunglasses in the sailor's cap.
And why on the first date you start with doggy style?
All right, because it's uncomfortable. Yeah, emotionally, to be looking right at him.
Looking the same way.
So first date is doggy. Right. And then after that, you work your way into a missionary.
Sometimes.
Right. But usually because the sexual encounter becomes too intimate for you, you work doggy.
Yeah, you got to get to know her before you do. Start getting crazy.
Right.
Looking at each other. You know, right. Like you don't want to see what she's looking at.
Right.
Maybe
right.
She's looking at you.
Right, right. Understood. Hey, Pierce, 26, Phoenix.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Is your radio on?
No, it's not. He doesn't have a radio. We're not on the radio, DFG.
Turn it down.
We're not on the radio.
Turn down your radio, bro.
We're not on the radio.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Pierce, we got four shows coming up in Phoenix. You going to come say hi?
Yep.
All right. What's the question? What?
And that's what it's like to travel with Adam Carolla. Sometimes. It is fun. I do have a great time when we go. All right. Before we get started with this next clip, just letting everybody know, if you want to request a clip, it's so easy. You just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us, @GiovanniGiorgio, @ChrisLoxamana. Instagram us, whatever, LinkedIn us. Somebody texted me one, Gio. I got to forward you that one. Someone that never just texted me one, so... Any way you can get a hold of us, it's all valid. And we will find it. Now
we'll add to the list at the very least.
Yeah. And also, if you're listening to the show and you haven't rated and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts, please do so. It does help the show. We love keeping it going strong with the 5 stars. And it just means a lot that you guys are as involved with this show as we are. Now let's keep the clips going with one of my favorite all-time guests. And the reason it's, I think he's just as renowned as a Carolla Show guest is because nobody really expects it, right? They just think, oh, French Stewart, the guy from Third Rock, the goofy kind of out there one. I guess they all were, but he was more so than not. So we didn't really know what to expect. But he comes in, sits down with Adam, and just has an incredible interview, nominated for an ACE Award.
Yeah, French actually guested back on Classic Loveline, but it's one of the episodes we don't have the full thing. We have barely any of it. So we know that Adam and Drew loved him. They may have even gone to dinner with him, which they only did with like the Verve pipe and like three other people. Like, it's really weird, but they really love French Stewart. He just never appeared on the show again. French was actually previously on the podcast back on episode 146 of the original format with Matthew Modine. Which we'll probably play at a later date. It's a different vibe than this, but I love him. He's great. French Stewart, everybody.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, I know how much you hate things going to waste. I just killed a three-day-old half Coors Light that had been sitting outside on the patio. Wasn't good. Rock on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
French Stewart in That's studio. Right. That's right. I love French. And I was thinking, like I said, about the book. You can pre-order it on Amazon, Daddy right. Drinks. It's six dads trying to get it right. And so it's you and these other dads, but all, I guess, from similar backgrounds. I remember talking to you about your dad, how crazy he was, and what a kind of grifter and con artist
he
was.
Yeah, a grifter. He was a Milton French Stewart III.
Wow,
and
that's a good name.
Yeah. So there was Milton French Stewart I, and he killed a guy on a bridge in Virginia, mm-hmm. and then he vanished into the woods.
Milton dog back on the blower,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Milton French Stewart Jr. was like a boxer that was inappropriate with children.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was like just a full con man. And so basically it took like four generations to get to fucking actor, like a child star actor, like kind of thing. So it, you know, I mean,
there's a good story with your dad and some car tires that I seem to remember.
My dad would, when he divorced my mother, he would like come for one bad play date a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would take you to like an inappropriate movie. But first you
Alien.
Had to The Exorcist.
No, I saw Pepe on with my dad.
That's exactly what happened. Like,
that's wildly like, inappropriate.
What the goddamn, like, why am I watching Deliverance in 1970?
Literally, that's a Pepe on was Deliverance on in French Guyana.
Like, when were you born?
I was born in 64.
Me too.
Pepe on must have been like 71 or something right. like that. I was way too young. And there was beheadings and there was leprosy and there's homoeroticism. It was insane.
It's horrid. Like, I remember seeing like seeing movies and going, well, I guess that's okay. But like, you don't know. Like, he would basically take you to, he would say, all right, we're going to run an errand.
Mm-hmm.
And so you run an errand and he would go rent the exact car that he drove, pull it around the corner, and then he would change the tires out. And he would just say, oh, French, you know, it's just cheaper to, like, buy, like, a car for a day,
right.
change the tires out, as opposed to just, like, you know, buying tires.
It's brilliant.
Like, you should remember this. Like, it was like
an imparting wisdom.
It's like like an Oprah moment. Like, you're like, all right. Well, you know. And then you're like later on, you're in the seventh grade, and he goes, oh, well, like, if you want to get girls, just say their name a lot and look them in the eye. It'll be fine. And you're like, all right. Fucking what? Like, you know, it's like he's a bad dad.
Yeah. I'm interested in bad dads. And we started the show just – coincidentally, Brian's a new dad. I'm a newish dad, and you're a dad. And we started the show just sort of coincidentally saying how unimaginable it is to be that way, mm-hmm. say those things, do those things.
And then you do it.
No, I'm not doing it. And this is why I have little to no forgiveness for people who do this. Pull the mic up to you, please, French, if you could.
Right there.
I have no forgiveness for these people who go, well, his dad drank, so he drinks too, and he beat his kids, so he beats us. All he knows. I don't buy that bullshit for a second. Either. First off, how the fuck do we get on with it as a society if everyone's just making excuses with, oh, his dad was kind of this way. I went, I'm fucked up, I need therapy, I don't want to be a horrible dad like my fucking horrible parents,
That's
and I'm going to get my shit together, and I'll think about it almost every day and do the exact opposite of what would Jim do. I'll just think, what would Jim Carolla do, and then I'll do the opposite.
I'll do the other thing.
Yeah, like make money.
Like my mom had my sister at 16 and then me at 20. And I was like, well, did you, like, you know, like, my wife was pregnant. I was like, well, did you have cravings? And she was like, yeah, I couldn't huff enough shoe shine. Like, shoe shine. I just wanted to smell shoe shine or gas at a gas station. I was like, okay, all right. Well, like, it was
Cop your toner.
Yeah.
Instantly wish you hadn't asked.
I meant, like, ice cream with anchovies.
Yeah,
mom.
That's what I was thinking.
Pickles.
I was like,
pickles.
I was going pickles, but she was all like, oh, no, shoe shine. I would huff it all day long. I couldn't get away from the shoe shine. I was all like, okay, all right. But then, like, when my wife, like, when she got pregnant, it, like, let's face it, I was 50. I had one sperm left. One, and it was like
it's a full court shot with the buzzer.
No, it's like Roy Scheider at the end of Jaws.
Smile, you son of a bitch!
You son of a bitch!
On his hand as he came.
Boom!
Boom! No, it was like it was a miracle. Like my wife, like, you know, like we'd done the whole thing of like, all right, we're gonna try and get pregnant, but I was too old. And then it, you know, you end up with a sperm sample dying on the 405 because you can't get to your appointment quick enough.
They got a 20-minute rule.
Window, right?
Yeah. I remember getting into this with my wife too. It's like, where's the place? It's like 20. It's 27 minutes away.
Like,
that's fine because I live in a world. Here's the world I live in. If the ladder says holds up to 300 pounds, you're good to 450.
That's right.
If at 301 the thing caved in,
you're going to have problems.
They wouldn't make that ladder. So when the guy says 20 minutes, I hate it when people are fast and loose with your fucking schedule. They
Me
do this
too.
All the time where they go like, look, don't eat no water, no solids or liquids after midnight. And I always say, you say that to people who have to come in and get the dental procedure at 8 a.m.
No.
But if they come in at 3 p.m., you say the same thing.
That's fucking right.
That's a huge window. And according to your math, I could eat breakfast at 7:30 in the morning.
I still have that good 8-hour
window. Still have that window. But like, we don't recommend that anyone doing anything after midnight. That's how you always know it's full.
If a doctor tells me to like eat, like you have one pill, but don't do like three Pessics. I do like my own math, and I'm like, what would French like? That's more like eight. Like, I can do eight, and I can also do like kind of a beer with it.
Yeah, I've told Drew a million times. I need to know the difference with the no booze thing on the pill.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know the one. One needs a picture of a liver exploding, and the other one a picture of me really enjoying myself.
That's
because if all we're gonna do
a thumbs up,
if this is essentially whipped cream on my Xanax Sunday, then I want to know. But if my liver's gonna explode, then I will. I might listen.
Yeah, like Drew, you might be right, but I wrote half a play.
Yeah, in this condition.
In this condition.
Yeah, I've said that many times. Yeah. So, sorry, the book, your dad. Now, is your dad around?
No.
And
is a doornail.
And did you ever get anything? get anything right with him, or did he circle back when you're having all kinds of success Third Rock and everything?
Yeah, my mother really like kind of pinned him down the best, which is he's all icing, no cake.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
He's great at a birthday party.
Right.
He's very fun. He looked like Tom Selleck with a big mustache.
Right.
But he'll steal all your shit, you know? And like I started getting on TV and suddenly, you know, I hadn't talked to him in like 20 years because like he's delightful, but you can't
protect yourself.
Yeah. And so suddenly the FBI is like, okay, well, your dad is like trying to bust into your bank account. And he was like, he was trying to like write checks with my, like the signature that I wrote when I was like seven, like
big bubble letters.
Yeah. Big dumb letters. And I'm like, you motherfucker. Like he ended up like when he always told me like, oh, French, you know, I'm like, I'm a pirate. I just don't have a ship. That's my problem. And I was like, all right, I get it. And so, like, on his death certificate, it's me and my sister were like, I'll just put pirate. He'll like it. Put pirate. Yep. Like, it, you know, he's a pirate.
All right.
Yeah.
God, it's a lot. It drives me nuts. But I have this theory, because I know a lot of these people. They spend their entire life trying to avoid an honest day's work. It's my Jimmy Kimmel theory.
This is correct.
I know plenty of guys, and a lot of range between some of the guys that went to high school and Jimmy Kimmel. And I always say this. The guy that was most generous, not financially, but financially, but with his time, was Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel.
He would do anything. He would work with you on anything. We never wanted any compensation.
He worked.
I would meet him at the radio station at 5 a.m. He would edit my bits, you know, and it wasn't like part of his job. His job was the sports guy. All the way through life, and including up until now, he's clearly the most generous, thoughtful guy I know.
That's right.
But with his time, you can say, well, he's got money in the bank and just get his assistant. No, he handles it, and it's with his time. I don't need money from him, but he does it with his time. There are guys I know, my buddy Ray is probably one of them, doesn't do much for, and I have a few family members and things like that. Their whole plan in life is to never do anything for anybody else. It's to keep their own shit and see how much shit they can get from other people without ever really working. They have nothing, coincidentally. Yeah. And it's so counterintuitive because you think, well, who's going to be poor? Well, Jimmy's going to be poor because he's giving away all his time for free.
All his time.
And who's not? My high school buddy Dave, who is always pinching stuff from everybody all the time. But he, guess who lives in a crappy one-bedroom apartment?
That's right.
That guy, because he doesn't have relationships. The thing about your dad is like he spent his entire life trying not to work, but then he died with nothing.
It's the actors who work super hard to stay on unemployment when they could just get a job, and it would be like so much easier than staying on unemployment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No.
But the calories burnt. Being a pirate or not ever just going, I'll take this job and I'll build on it or whatever. Always so much time looking for the angle that life just blows by. Your kids hate you and you don't have anything.
Well that's the thing. It's like the first thing I used to come around the K-Rock stuff where they would like send you in and you would like do Kevin and Bean in the morning and like Jimmy was there. And, like, I remember, like, Jimmy Kimmel bringing me coffee. And I was like, and I think back on that now, and I'm like, in what world does Jimmy Kimmel bring me coffee? And it wasn't because he had to. He just did it. He just, like, brought it because I was a guest. He was a nice person.
He would pay for it himself on occasion.
Yeah.
You know, that's just who he was. But so the antithesis of your dad, the polar opposite of your dad and my dad, which is like always trying to figure out a way to get something or for somebody to do something for them versus going out and doing stuff for everyone and making relationships, the relationships.
So much easier.
Well, there's a payday. You know, I've made Jimmy millions of dollars indirectly, but I've made him hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars over the years.
Yeah.
Because he was good, and we established a relationship. Your dad didn't get a penny.
But that was like...
Near to my dad. Yeah, at least in a car.
No, they didn't, like, that's right. Like, that's like, he, like, I remember coming back, like, and they were like, okay, well, your dad's dead. Like, he's left behind. Like, the one thing you have to talk about is that the only thing he had was a ton of guns.
Well, who's going to watch the parrot?
Who's going to watch the parrot?
Polly's not going to feed himself.
Polly wants food.
He wants a cracker.
That's right. A cracker at least.
So, what did your dad... Hold on. Don't tell me yet. I'll tell you first about Simply Safe, and then you tell me what your dad left behind. Because I got to tell you, if I heard my dad died, I would not go to his house to even look at anything. I would simply go, when's the funeral?
Like,
there's nothing left. There's no wristwatch. Mm. There's no heirlooms. There's no, I get the old DeSoto that's been up on blocks in the garage.
No, me either.
Simply Safe. Nothing.
Guys like Frank Stewart's dad trying to steal your identity.
That's right. You got to put Simply Safe. Yeah, nothing more important than safety. Yeah,
from my dad.
Yeah.
Quick question. Yes. Is it safe?
It is Simply Safe.
Does that answer your second question?
Yeah.
So, is it simple?
Moving on.
What did your dad leave behind?
Guns. Like, he lived in New Mexico, and he left behind guns. And so for a while, like, people would show up going like, oh, your dad kind of owed us money. And we're like, well, me and my sister are like, we got guns.
Dip into the
guns. Guns are money. So, we just gave him guns and then we left, but it was just, he's like a bad dad.
I gotcha.
Yeah. He looked like Tom Selleck, sound like he made driftwood art. He had a wolf dog, and he was really, like, charming with the ladies, but he was, like, 3 months worth of charming, and then, then it's gone. You
know. I have a question. How much of that bad dadding that happened early on in your life, like, was hardwired into you? Like, can you do you find yourself still thinking about those things or doing certain things? Like, oh, I really got to shake that habit. Or did you reject it almost totally?
Well, my mom told me, like, take the charm. Like, take the charm and move on, because the rest of it is just, you know, I've got a work ethic, and he didn't. Like, it's the thing you're talking about. It's why do you work so hard to do something so sketchy when you could actually just work hard and sort of feel better about yourself?
I get the part where you don't want to burn the calories, but your lifestyle is burning more calories, and you're much less more comfortable. Calories. And because you live in an apartment and you don't own a home, you have to park on the street, and you're getting parking tickets when the street sweeper comes by, and your life is actually your wild your life that's devoid of effort is now causing you more effort. Like I remember like paying electricity bills in person. Like, I know where the place was on Van Nuys.
Yeah, get there on the day was
in Sepulveda. It's waiting in long line after work to pay in person because I couldn't get my shit together. But how? It was such an incredible calorie burner.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, you remember going to, like, phone booths to, like make calls. It's like, you know, like, you put a coin in. You like, but, like, now, like, my daughter, like, she's 4 years old, and she'll be like, oh, this or that. And I'm like, the main thing I say to her is, like, two things. One is, like, if she's crawling on furniture, like, what's your end game? What's your end game? Like, where are you going with this? What's your end game? And then the second thing is, hey, baby, tough times in the city. We're in the city. We got to, like, be strong. Tough times in the city.
It's a Nick Gilder song.
Right?
Dawson,
tough times in the city.
Is it hitting you? It's actually Hot Child to see, but he'll look it up.
It doesn't even matter.
It's such a 70s
work.
Such a 70s song.
Yeah. At 4 years old, she's like, I got you, Dad.
I got you.
I hear
like,
you.
Sometimes it's like, oh, I get it. Like, you actually bonked your head and you're upset. But other times it's like, no, baby, you're crying your way out of a ticket. Tough times in the city. A tough times in the city. Yeah.
There's a man.
I think so. Same's Nick.
Stranger dressed in black. Isn't that weird? She's a hungry
child. A lot of these, like, it's a weird.
A lot of these songs are like sort of like pedophile-y.
Like, oh, there's a whole. Yeah. There's a whole statutory rape rock from
statutory rock.
She's 16. She beautiful. She all mine.
Yeah.
Or else, take me away.
Like, no, we made love in my Chevy van where I picked you up and you're barefoot and I dropped you off back down. That's rape and abduction.
Right. Like, pulled you out of a window.
So
like,
young.
And then I transported you across state lines.
Which one's the she's just 16
years old. Leave her alone. They say. Like, with the quotation thing. They say leave her alone.
They meaning your probation officer.
Yeah, she's not legal. Like, maybe you might want to leave her alone.
They's really, it's a euphemism for society.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
She's just 16 years old.
Like,
Gino Vanelli, what were you goddamn thinking?
No, this isn't Gino Vanelli.
It's Benny.
Benny. Yeah, Gino Vanelli just wanted to stop and come on an underage chick.
I think that's my bad. You're right. It was Benny Mardonis.
Yeah, and the great part is he's at the end. He's like whining. Like, he's like, oh.
Like, if I could only.
He's howling.
If I could only fly away with a 13-year-old girl, everything would be fine. Like, why? It's like, it's preposterous.
The best is this. Young girl.
Oh, get out of my heart.
Get out of my heart.
Right. Now,
it's your fault,
well,
young girl.
It's young mind, girl. Get out of my mind.
Okay.
My love for you is way out of line.
Your fault.
You better run,
girl.
So I'm this close to coming in your hair. Get out of my
mind. I think in the very first Ace Awards, you won an award for best musical moment for saying something about this song and saying that you better move, girl, because I'm going to rape you.
That's what he's saying.
That it's the clear message.
Yeah, it's like this guy's a pedophile, like the Wolfman on a full moon would change.
No matter what I say.
But that's the thing. It's like people like really like you go back now and you look at like 70s like stuff and everybody's like, oh, the 70s, the music was so good. That like we remember the 70s. It was like actually it was rapey. It was nobody had any money and nobody had any gas for their cars. It was shitty.
It was horrible.
Like, it was awful.
Dark times.
Yeah. It was dark times in the city.
Yeah.
That's why I'll tell my daughter, hey, dark times, baby. Thank you. Shit. That Wolfman right. never let me down.
Right. French Stewart here. Yeah. We'll do a little news. I'll tell you first.
Ugh. It can't be
first.
Good.
There's some good stuff in there. First, I'll tell you about True Car. You want to get a fair price? You want to go with True Car, see what other people are paying in the market, and then lock in your price and drive it right off the lot. Once you register, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory, and you can feel confident when you show up. True Car users average $3,000 off of MSRP. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13 million True Car certified dealers nationwide. You want a new car, you want a used car or previously owned, we go with True Car. So when you're ready to buy, you go online, you go to truecar.com, you lock in your price, you get your certificate, you show up, and you buy your car. Whether it's new, whether it's previously owned, our own Max Pat just did that with this Prius over there. It's a confident car buying experience, and you can only do it with True Car.
I totally get it.
You get it, right?
Like Dorothy had a car. She took good care of it. Then she launched it over to True Car. Jeff bought it, and like he's happy with Dorothy's car. True Car.
Totally.
You should be writing children's books. Forget about these books about your dad.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a little news.
Let's do it.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I've been naked in that show more than once.
Damn right,
yep.
Yeah.
So Megyn Kelly's new Sunday night show premiered with a much-anticipated interview with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Much of the talk consisted of Kelly trying to get Putin to say whether or not his country interfered in our most recent presidential election. Kelly asked Putin in various ways if that was the case, and Putin fired back with accusations of the U.S. meddling in elections all over the world.
Ooh, I know you are, but what am I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I'm rubber, you're glue. When That's Putin right. was asked again about election interference, he defended President Trump and surmised that the American people need to get a hobby. Here's the clip.
Was he wearing a shirt?
Yes, this time, yeah.
Wow. Riding a pony?
Full suit.
What are you doing? You created a sensation out of nothing. And out of the sensation, you turned it into a weapon of war against the current president. Well, this is, you know, you're just, you people are so creative over there. Good job. Your lives must be boring.
Oh, he's Dr. Evil. Like, oh, you're quite a mess you've created.
Petting a hairless cat.
Yeah.
Who do you think has a better sitting, your lying face? Megyn Kelly or Tucker Carlson? Because they both have excellent.
Megyn Kelly.
Like your lying face.
Tucker has a pretty good, your lying face when he locks it in.
Does he kind of squint his eyes like Megyn does?
It's more incredulous.
Hard to tell what it is, but it's whatever's coming out of the person's mouth is not landing it. After that face.
Uh-huh.
Once he flips the switch on that face.
Tucker the fucker.
Yeah. It's trouble.
Or Megyn.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Like Garbage Pail Kids.
Wow.
I'm fucking killing it.
Yeah, I've heard some snippets of this. Putin was not.
He's not having it?
Well, he didn't disappoint in that he was not presidential. I mean, him and Trump could definitely share this part, which is they may be like Joe Five Pack. Like, I don't even know if they're up to a six pack. Like, there's duty is duty. You know, we just came off of Obama, and you come off of, you think back to Thatcher and Reagan and people like that, where
that's right.
Assume they're lying, but they're doing with a certain degree of decorum.
Right.
Yeah.
That's gone.
No, it's gone. Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's completely gone.
I like Joe Five Pack. Mm-hmm. It's even more
you're
blue collar.
You aspire to Joe Six Pack. Can't afford that six beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe 40 ounce.
The extra work would be.
Well, the One Love Manchester benefit concert happened Sunday night, and it seemed to go off without a hitch. Ariana Grande bought together some big, huge names in music to stand with Manchester after the bombing at her concert that happened on May 22nd, left 22 dead. I have a couple of clips for you. I really like this first one. Coldplay came out and sang Brian, an Oasis song.
What?
Yes, they sang Don't Look Back in Anger, and then they let the crowd take over.
That's
here's
the, probably the best song they've ever sang.
Yeah, this is the part where the crowd takes over.
It's a great song.
I like it.
Boy, we're taking performing to a new lazy level, which is not only are we going to do someone else's song, but let the audience do it.
Like jumbo karaoke.
I don't get why, like, the moment.
French's dad could have pulled that one off right now.
Like, yeah. Milton French 3 could have done that. Like, I don't get why, like, two brothers who are known for fighting with each other.
Well, did you notice who wasn't on the stage?
Yeah, but it's Gallagher. Like, why is that about that? Like, why didn't you bring out the Kinks? Like, why don't we just bring out a bunch of brothers?
Well, they can't.
Those are both fantastic points. Fantastic points.
Thank you.
But there is something, I think, nothing better on earth at a concert than a few hundred thousand British accents singing a song.
Probably 70,000, but it feels good.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
The Gallagher brothers cannot be in the same space together. This much we know currently. But they're from Manchester. They're probably the most famous people from Manchester for the past, I don't know, 30 years. Or
somebody, saw a tweet that one of the Gallagher brothers was talking shit about the other one about this concert.
You should see a tweet when they're not talking shit about the other one. That would be newsworthy.
One showed up. Who has the mutton chops?
I think Liam does.
And then I think he skedaddled.
I think you're talking about like Daryl Hall.
Hey, Gary.
You're right.
And he's not talking shit about John Oates.
He never would.
He understands his money makers.
Gary, get Liam Gallagher's Twitter up real quick because I'm going to show you guys the most Liam Gallagher thing ever.
You're a fucking liar.
Liam Gallagher has like, I think 1.3 million followers, somewhere in that neighborhood, about a huge number of followers.
Lot.
He follows zero people. He follows zero.
That's
people.
A power move.
He follows no man. Oh, I
he's
like that.
He's following zero and he has like 1.8 million followers. That's the most Liam Gallagher thing ever.
Follow no man.
Exactly.
That's
it.
A bad accent.
I love it. I know what you meant.
So will they cannot perform together, ever perform together?
Together?
I'm sure they will at some point. The money's going to be too good, but they're very, very, very wealthy. So maybe it won't matter to
but
them.
Are they happy?
They seem delightful.
I think they seem.
They're Dick Van Dyke-esque.
Tripping over an ottoman and like living in Gallagher.
More of a chimney sweep. Yeah.
Chimney. Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going back to Britain on
don't
this
don't bring
one.
Your chitty-chitty bang-bang fucking game to this show. Like with the Gallaghers. This is...
Well, Smithsonian Magazine reports that NASA is planning to launch the very first space mission to explore the sun.
No.
They're going to launch the Parker Solar Probe,
bad
which is
idea.
Expected to get to within 4 million miles of the sun's surface.
Hot.
That means, yes, it will be facing heat and radiation like no spacecraft ever before, facing temperatures of about 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Sunburned astronauts.
Yes.
That's all I heard.
This solar probe will orbit the sun 7 times before making a death dive and hurtling toward the surface at 450,000 miles per hour.
You're a stupid woman.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh,
I feel like it's unmanned.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I apologize.
No problem.
Hold on. We can't do unmanned anymore. It's got to be unmanned or unwomanned.
Unhumanned.
Unpiloted.
Yeah.
Unthem.
Unpiloted.
Transmanned.
Right.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, as artificial intelligence and robotics continue to pick up steam, thousands of jobs we could once take for granted are at risk of being automated now. And there might be a tool you can consult to take the necessary measurements before your time comes. It's called WillRobotsTakeMyJob.com.
Oh, no.
It's a web-based tool that predicts how
susceptible... Sorry, French, here's number one. You're number one.
Like a silversmith.
Yep. Exactly. Your occupation is to being taken over by robots. The tool further provides additional information information like the total number of people employed at each occupation, as well as the projected growth of its respective field by the year 2024. So, for example, I just pulled a couple that might pertain to
Please do podcaster.
For example, the website says for carpentry, which currently employs about 676,000 people, they have a 72% chance of becoming automated.
I can see that.
While broadcasters, which only employs about 29,000, have only a 10% chance.
Trying to think about the carpentry automation. I mean,
robot. Like,
yeah. Well, there's a whole list here. You tell
me. You'd have to figure it out. Like, if they start doing building in a modular way, where you're building the house like not on site, which is getting popular, and we should just do it that way now, where you just literally build it in sections,
and transport it.
Then those people aren't going to be on the job site, but someone's still going to have to be in the factory, putting the stuff together. Yeah. They'll have jigs and welding robots and stuff like that. But there's still someone has to assemble it, and someone has to
put
whatever
the plans
it.
Into the machine. And
but the million houses that are in different states of decay that always need the washer redone or the pipes or the whatever, that's just going to be constant work.
That's going to be constant work for a robot. Well, that's too much for a robot.
You tell me, Adam, because they cite some stuff specifically, so you tell me if a robot could take this over. So, say construction, just in general, erect, install, or repair structures and fixtures made of wood. Let's see.
Erect,
they have
installing fixtures made of wood.
Yeah. Cabinets, install cabinets, siding, drywall, and bat or roll insulation.
That seems, first off, as long as we have illegals for $12 an hour, we're never going to need to dump all that money into that technology, at least out
SoCal. I don't want the wall. Like, lettuce is going to be like $57 a head.
Somebody tweeted me article or news story on an automated robotic lettuce picker.
Oh, that's why they combat
it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I might be talking out of my ass.
Yeah. It still employed people, but like half or a third of the people, the thing just went there and picked all the lettuce.
Sure. I can see that.
Of an automated standpoint. And then the guys, although I'll tell you one thing that was refreshing as I was watching this article. I was looking at a lot of these migrant people that are doing backbreaking work and noticed that most of them had an extra 30 pounds on them. And I said, you know, you've arrived when the poorest people doing the worst jobs are carrying around extra 30 pounds. Like it used to, you look at pictures of the guys that were coal miners, turn of the century and stuff.
Yeah.
Just skin and bones. Yeah. It's all elbows and knees, you know.
So what you want is like a morbidly obese haberdasher.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was refreshing to me that most of the people look wildly nourished, nourished, and probably went back to whatever horrible vessel they lived in, but it probably had more than one TV.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Two TVs.
Oh, for sure.
One on top of another one.
Right. One, the sound work. From the other, the picture work.
Yeah.
Right. I get it.
Well, financial website 24/7 Wall Street researched cities across the country analyzing drinking rates, the number of bars per capita, and driving deaths involving alcohol to determine the drunkest and driest cities in the U.S.
Gotta be Wisconsin.
I was going to say Chicago.
You are a genius, French. It looks like the party's in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
In fact, out of 10 cities, 7 of them are in Wisconsin.
Wow. Appleton.
How did you know
Oshkosh?
That?
Because they're like, you know,
nothing else
half
to do.
The name of a martini.
It's cold.
Appletini.
You can't almost say Appletini.
My family's from there. I don't remember hearing that.
Oshkoshatini.
Wow. What percentage of people from Appleton or like college age called Appletini? They're dumb. They're leaving money on the table. Yeah. If they're not calling it Appletini.
You're freaking killing news.
You are. You're doing so good. The other cities are in North Dakota and Montana, but Wisconsin swept.
Yeah, but it's like it's cold.
And you guys, nothing else to do. Yeah, you travel around and do comedy shows, and you'll find out pretty quickly who does the drinking. Like when you go to Canada, they like to drink over there.
Yeah, they like heroin, too.
Oh, yeah. They'll take anything.
Yeah.
But isn't there like a special city block they're allowed to do it in?
Yeah, they heroin it up.
Like, heroin Avenue.
The heroin district?
Yeah.
Yeah, the heroin district.
Hey, I'll tell you any place that does a lot of drinking. You don't have to go place that consumes the most alcohol. You just go place that participates the most in ice fishing. Because that's simply an excuse to get shit-faced during the day.
That's a one-to-one correlation.
And you've given it, you've grafted an activity onto it.
You got it.
Because no one says, hey, I'm going to sit out on a lake on a folding chair and get shit-faced. You go, what kind of loser? What kind of father are you? What kind of, I'm going ice fishing. I'm providing for the family.
I'll take the sun. Yeah.
Don't forget
and then
coat.
You just go there, you that's drill right. an auger hole, and then you start drinking. And you got to start early.
Yeah,
it's literally the place you go to get drunk on a Saturday or Sunday. It's you start probably crack your first beer about 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And all you do is sit there and hope you're not bothered with a fish while you get drunk all day.
Yeah, that's, like yanking on your deal.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, damn, I got a bite.
Oh, no.
You show me the place that does the most per capita ice fishing and I'll show you who does the most drinking.
Okay. That's smart.
God, that's smart.
Well, a new study has found that everyone keeps an average of, actually, maybe you want to guess. There's a number of secrets that the average person keeps. What number do you think that is?
Oh, like 57,000.
Well, secrets.
The average person keeps this many secrets.
That you would, now.
You want me to give some examples?
You're keeping track.
Okay. So this is like hidden relationships, past crimes, drug or alcohol use. You're not happy at work. You've stolen something. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I'm
trying to think. It seems unquantifiable in a weird way.
You got to keep track of them.
I'll tell you how they came to the conclusion, if that helps you.
But we could definitely all understand that if you're having an affair, that's something you're keeping
that's dark.
Secret. let's see. I guess me being trapped inside a man's body would definitely be something I would call a secret.
Not tell everybody.
I would say so. Very close maybe a disease that you really didn't want to, maybe fess up to.
Like a Nicholas. Oh, I see.
Herpes. Okay. Yeah.
Like a herpes.
Okay. All right. For that matter, because I don't know how to answer it, I'll say 7.
Okay. Brian?
I would go less. I'll say 3.
I'm going to do prices right and go 9.
Okay. Well, once again, French, I mean.
Yeah, fucking right. I'm the
king. You're closest. You're definitely closest.
Yeah. You are this news, man.
I know. I was on TV for a while, and so.
Maybe you've heard.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps an average of 13 secrets. Oh. Psychologists researched and organized over 13,000 secrets and put them into 38 categories. Like I said, drug and alcohol use, hidden relationships, crimes. The study found that at least 5 of the secrets people kept are ones they've never told anybody
damaged.
Before.
I wonder if they combine the two studies. Like, well, the only way to really get the truth out of them is to get them really liquored up.
That's
so
right.
You go to Wisconsin, I'll go to Montana, and we'll get people drunk. And by the way, when they're drunk, we'll ask them about how much booze are they consuming.
That's exactly what you do. You go to Appleton, Wisconsin, and suddenly
Appletini.
It's like, I got a damaged butthole. Like, you're just confessing shit. Like, my butthole is like a wonder. Like, what? But like, how?
Is that a John Mayer song?
Yeah, it is.
My butthole's a wonder?
Yeah.
Like a wonderland.
Don't sing that one to your daughter. Stick with the Nick Gilder
one. You mean to get her to sleep?
Well, and she starts crawling on the furniture. Don't go a tough time in the
city. You know what's funny
is
like I used to gas her to sleep with 70s hits. Uh-huh. And then you find yourself like singing like Fooled Around and Fell in Love. And you're like, oh, it's working, but.
It sticks with it.
At what price?
At what price do I bring Elvin Bishop into like the baby scenario? Like, I don't know.
That's another one of those songs where he announced that all he did was love women, orgasm, and leave.
The first line is, have been through about a million girls.
I love them, leave them alone. Oh, actually, I take prescription meds out of the medicine cabinet, then I leave them alone. Yeah.
That's a lot of sex for a dude with a straw hat. It's delightful, though. I love you guys. We should, we should get together again, in a year. Just hang out.
Write another book.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I gotta crap out another book.
Yeah.
Long intro.
Look at that.
Oh, no.
You got a wolf
million. Should have talked it up.
I must have been through about a million girls. I love them and I leave them alone.
Is this the guy from Starship?
Yeah.
Singing?
It sounds like it, but
that's Mickey Thomas, isn't it?
Yeah. But this sounds very.
No, this is not Elvis singing.
It's very Jefferson.
Yeah. Oh, it isn't?
It is not.
Oh.
But it feels like it.
Oh, then.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Stepped in.
Yeah, it is the Starship guy.
Oh,
Mickey.
Yeah. Area. Yeah. He'd do miracles.
It's a great song.
It is.
It's not even a Tool tune.
It's a great song.
No, the song's great.
Yeah.
Well, windows might go up.
It's solid. Like,
but French, if you're listening to this song in traffic and you pull up to a red light, the windows go up.
You don't want other people to know you're enjoying this song.
Oh, well, here's something about me. Oh. I don't apologize for it. Yeah. I've got fucking Toto. I've got all sorts of bullshit.
He's Tool Tune Immune.
And like
Tool Tune Immune.
I'll play it at a party and I'll be all like, yeah, I just played some Taylor Swift for you fucking drunk fat bastards. And I don't give a shit about it. Like I'm unapologetic.
And they're like, next time let's have the wake over at Linda's house.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
French is being wildly inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, enjoy ABBA.
Perhaps this is our problem for holding the wake at French's. And we thank you for volunteering, French. But the next time someone dies, we're just going over to Linda's house. But
I like all the Bee Gees. I'm sorry, Linda.
Linda did not like Taylor Swift. Yeah. You knew that.
Linda will take what she fucking gets. Because that's what happened with Linda's life. Linda, like, look, Linda fucked everybody over. And now she gets what she gets at her fucking wake. I love Wendy.
Great eulogy.
All right, let's do one more story over here.
Yeah, let's do another one.
In less than a month, McDonald's has more than doubled the number of its U.S. locations that offer delivery. According to the CFO, delivery is now available at more than 2,000 locations, and he expects the partnership with Uber Eats to expand that to more than 35 locations by the end of this month. Previously, McDonald's had expanded its third-party delivery to more than 1,000 chains nationwide. McDonald's already has well-established delivery service in Asia and the Middle East, where for some restaurant delivery is 40% of sales. Last year, McDonald's garnered nearly $1 billion in delivery sales globally.
I argue that the people, that when you wait for to show up at your house, you don't enjoy it as much as when you leave your house and you do that moment where you walk in and you get a little whiff of the fries and the meat. And then there's that little sort of, it's the foreplay period. Like, well, there's a few people in front of me in line. I'm going to look up at the board here. Nothing better than reading the board up there. See what we got over here. Thinking about some supersizing going on. Then, then this power move where you dispatch your mate. Hey, hold down that table. What do you want?
Yes.
You want big and fries? Okay. Yeah. I got to get the table. Go sit there. Someone's going to sit there. They go sit and they lock down a table.
Damn straight.
I like that.
They're going to get the one they want.
Yeah.
It's the foreplay.
Yeah. It's the foreplay.
It's the whole experience.
It's like the McRib is back.
Yeah,
like
there's a McRib tracker.
Are we going to have like a Shamrock Shake? Oh. Fuck, I'll pull into that. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. I will eat any shit out of McDonald's and love it. And everybody can like take their gluten-free bullshit and walk it across the street because I'm going to eat that filet of fish. If not fish, I understand that. But like, I let my mind like think that it is.
Yeah.
No, McDonald's has worked out diabolically a whole bunch of stuff. It's the Twinkie or it's the Jack in the Box taco.
That's right.
You can all close your eyes and taste a Jack in the Box taco, which does not resemble the taste of a taco.
No.
It's
your taco. And you're okay with it.
Some part of your brain likes it more in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I tell you a terrible thing?
Yes.
All right. Like I was going through pilot season a couple of years ago and I was driving like I had to be like – Like I do an audition. I'm a businessman, and then I'm a principal. I'm like something. But I'm going to all these things, and so I'm going over to Fox, and there's that Del Taco, and I go, all right, I'm gonna eat that, and so I ate it, and then on my way back, I was like, oh, I don't feel like great, and then I was like, oh, I should go home, and then I was like, no, I should pull over, and then I pulled over into the flats of Brentwood. And I crawled into the back seat of my Cadillac and I shat in a Del Taco bag.
Hey, it's a guy from Third Rock shitting in a bag.
It's a guy from Third Rock shitting in a Del Taco bag. So you're probably wondering, like, why are you telling me this?
No. Well, now you only have 12 secrets.
Right. Like, just stay humble.
Right.
That's
I like it. Keeping it real. I like that.
Like, it is what it is. It's like you do that, and then you're like, oh, this suit actually cost $2,000. And like, but like, here I am, and like, this happened. And
it's starting to make sense why French doesn't get embarrassed about the music he listens to.
That's the least of his worries in the car.
Oh, no. Twitter. After Twitter, I just like, you have enough like 13-year-old kids like tell you that you're garbage that like at a certain point you're just like, all right, well, I'm garbage.
Lean into it.
Lean into it. Like, I'm cool. Like, it's fine. I'm like, I get it. Like, I'm Inspector Gadget 2. I'm like Home Alone 4. It's all fine. Like, I know my sweet spot. Go nuts. Like,
you know, it's fine. Yeah.
All
oh
right.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Gina Grant.
Can I tell you really fast? I thought of an indicator the other day, and I wanted to run it by you when it comes to car commercials and that whole thing. Have you noticed in the last year or so, in the car commercial, they use the seat warmer to put their fast food on? So it's warm when they get it home.
Ooh!
Well, I don't remember what car I saw.
I've
that
not
I was
seen
like,
this.
"Oh my God, that's in a car commercial."
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either.
But it's a bit of an indicator,
we're
right?
We're getting soft. Yeah, we're definitely getting.
You know, it's a life hack.
There's a game that I play with my wife where, like, it's August or September in LA and it's hot. I put on the seat warmer and give her a hot ass.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
She didn't know it's coming. Suddenly she's like, "I'm sweating." What's like? Hey, did you give me a hot ass? Yeah, I gave you a hot ass.
Mind your business.
Yeah. Right. And knock it off for the back seats, French, because that bag of shit is boiling over. And
damn
it's
straight
give me a hot nostril here, man.
My bunghole. It's my bung.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I got a damaged butthole. Gina. Son of a goddamn bitch.
With Gina Grad.
The book is called Daddy Drinks.
Oh, that's my lead-in?
You can pre-order it on Amazon and bookmark us. And so, French.
Yeah.
This has been awesome, man.
Always delightful.
I want to thank Dog the Bounty Hunter, Beth Chapman, French Stewart, Gina Grad, Bald Brian, this Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Hey, baby. Tough times in the city.
And we're back. Hope you enjoyed French Stewart. And that one was for Linda Kay, who wrote in, please play the episode with French Stewart from Third Rock from the Sun. Never laugh so hard. Thanks. Well, now we all laughed with you, Linda.
She wasn't very specific about what made her laugh so hard, so I got the vibe she wanted the whole interview. So
it was all great. Yeah.
It's great.
I think you did the right move. The right edit. No complaints here. All right. Also, please, if you haven't already, subscribe to Adam's YouTube channel, because I'm going to be populating it with stand-up clips, podcast clips, and just anything funny.
Fan said we should start populating these clips. So we should do a special Carolla Classics inside the Adam Carolla YouTube channel. So they're all separate. They're all up there individually. So people can watch them their heart's content.
Yeah, we should do that. I'm down. All right. Till then, we have one more clip for you today. And we teased it yesterday because we played a little bit of it when Dana Gould was in studio back in 2010. Well, now it's time for Heels Jules.
That's a great phrase.
I don't know.
This is the second half of Adam Carolla Show 447. This is Dana Gould, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop back in 2010. They're doing the full game of Huel's Jewels. This is after the previous clip where you heard about the invention of Mangria. Then Adam and Dana were riffing about Hanna-Barbera and all kinds of topics. They played the intro to Huel's Jewels. Now here's the actual segment.
Carolla's excited.
All right, should we do a little Huell Hauser?
Let's do it up.
Thank you for bringing up the fact that Hanna-Barbera hacks and rip everyone off.
I didn't know that we shared that.
I fucking hate them. No, and by the way, Sid and Marty Krofft as well. Just
well, I'm working for them right now.
Sorry. rehash, warming over what piece of shit from the 70s? They've got to be warming over some piece of shit from the 70s.
They're developing a property that they own and create.
Oh,
is that what you're asking?
Oh, thank God I'm sitting down. I mean, they didn't come. Let me just say this. Now I'm fucking pissed, but it's in the book, and you guys
heard
me say
before.
Dude,
I'm going to be with them
before.
Next week.
All right, I'll say it. I was walking on the lot when I was shooting my CBS pilot, and Alan Kirshenbaum, who was the showrunner and a real good mensch, had, hey, want to go in and say hi to Sid and or Marty Krofft? And I said, no. And they said, why not? Those guys are legends. And I'm like, legendary hacks. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, those guys have been doing this for 40 years, and they're still in the lot, and they still got their doors open, and these guys are legends. And I said, look, they made some of the shittiest shows of the 70s. They poisoned my fucking mind when I was 9. They're total hacks. Everything they do is just derivative. And no, I don't want to go pay homage to these fucking great geniuses that are just fucking hacks. And then he said, oh, yeah? Well, these guys are 80 years old, and they're still working on something. And I said, working on what? Something new? Or is it Land of the Lost, the fucking Redux? Of course they're working on some piece of shit that they did in the 70s. You want to know why Sid, Marty, Croft aren't working on anything now? Sid, Marty, Dana, sorry I don't want to get you fired. You guys are hacks. You're not talented enough or smart enough or funny enough to compete in today's world. So you have to take your other properties that, by the way, sucked in 1972, but we somehow have a soft spot in our heart for them, and then warm them over and unleash them on a new set of eyes. And by the way, turn a new generation of brains to mush. You've made enough money. Get the fuck out of the business. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. The game has passed you by. You only were around when there was no competition, and it's fucking war. It'd be like if Brett Favre said, I'm going to play into my 70s. No. Get out. And at least Brett Favre can look up and look in the fucking mirror and say, once he was good. You guys were never good. You never were good. You always sucked. And now we have a bunch of fond memories of a couple of rich guys who sucked. Please end the fucking madness. Take your bundle of cash. Go to your fucking house in the hills. And then look down at all of us and the city lights and laugh your ass off knowing that you got rich peddling shit to kids that didn't know better. Other than that, I think they're decent guys.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carolla, but you've not gotten the job as guidance counselor.
They're horrible. And if you all you have to do is tell me you're working on something with them, which means, uh-oh, now here comes fucking Far Out Space Nuts 3D. They're all they do. I was laughing about Sigmund and the Sea Monster. I was laughing about the worst fucking show that's ever been on television. And then somebody told me seriously, oh, yes, they're making that into a movie. Sid and Marty Croft aren't working. They're warming over shit they did in the 70s that sucked then. And please, Land of the Lost, good. It sucked. I'm so glad it bombed. Now, can we please stop supporting these ass wipes?
I hate to be naive, but they have the same last name. Are they related?
Yes.
They're brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
They're not life partners.
Oh, that's what I didn't know. Oh, God.
What, who are they? They look like the things from the Mucinex commercial.
That's Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, one of the worst. Oh, and by the way, using Phyllis Diller's voice, she was probably in it. And likeness. It's just derivative shit. It's just some of the least creative shit you've ever seen come down the pike. It
we
has nothing to do with creativity. And please stop rewarding these war criminals with your dollars. Okay? Please, everybody.
Yes.
They're horrible. Can we stop it?
All those people who went to see Land of the Lost.
Yes.
Stop flooding their coffers with money.
Yes. You eight people should have sent your fucking, send it to the Idi Amin scholarship fund.
They had to close down half of Halloween Horror Hunt because of the money the studio lost on that movie.
Of course it was a piece of shit. Of course. What a shocker. It was a piece of shit in 1974.
They had one zombie running around Halloween Horror Nights trying to scare everybody. They had to cut it that bad.
They got more. Now there's more. Please stop working, you old fucks. Please. Please. So we could fucking get some rest. My kids won't, God forbid, be exposed to any of your fucking shit. I'd rather show them vivisection than one of your pieces of shit from the 70s. You understand that? God, are you guys hacks.
We must be talking about different Sid and Marty.
No, same fucking hacks. They're horrible. Listen, I'm sure they're delights, but there's not a creative bone in their fucking bodies. They're horrible. They're horrible. Please, there's not a funny thing that comes out of either one of those hacks' mouths. All right. Now, moving on.
Now, for those of you unfamiliar with Yule, to imagine the skipper from Gilligan's Island,
right,
with a very threatening,
rapey vibe. Of Bear magazine.
Yeah.
All right. Yule went down to Griffith Park, I think. Well, I think Yule set it up. Do we have a clip?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
Okay, our adventure begins, and look at this technically is called Ferndale, D-E-L-L. How did it get that name? Obviously, there are lots of ferns here. Wow. Now, look at this. That's a redwood tree, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's one of the few places you'll actually find coastal redwoods that are not along the coastline.
Wow. So there's more in here than just ferns, but there are lots of ferns.
Huell. So
just to see Huell take in Griffith Park during the day.
Yeah.
I've been here at night so many times.
Can I?
Walking these trails.
Camping out, waiting on the corner with the brown bandana in my right pocket.
Meeting magical wood nymphs that do amazing things.
Huell'd probably be like, I didn't know this was open during the daylight hours.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like fourth the light of a thousand moons.
Hold on, that fella's
burning.
That fella's got a real ranger outfit. I never seen one of those.
Yeah, see that man dressed as a ranger. He even dressed up his car like a ranger's car. No, he's really a
he
ranger.
He works here. It's open during the day. Yeah.
There's a creature in this along this trail whose fingers feel like five tongues. No, Huell, that's not a creature.
This is Ferndale, by the way. I used to go there as a kid on field trips. It was like the cheapest, easiest. You just go up Griffith Park. There's a little creek. You go after crawdads. All right, but Huell blown. By the way, I don't know that this is possible, but Huell's teleprompter, somebody fed it a quaalude. Because Huell, as slow as Huell normally is, he used to break his sentences off into bite-sized chunks. He's now breaking each word up.
He's got the Paul Harvey.
Starting to sound like Shatner met Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear the next one.
All right, now let's set the stage as to exactly where we are, because we are right off of Los Feliz Boulevard, off of Western. We're just within sight of Los Feliz. The sirens are racing by us. We're in the heart of the city right now. But even though we're in the city, the place that we're getting ready to
city.
Go is almost like another world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's once you enter here, you wouldn't think you were in the city of Los Angeles.
No, you
absolutely
never know where you are.
The sign out front.
No. Listen to the birds.
That's an ambulance coming by.
Listen to the wheat ripple in the wind. It's like, it's first off, nothing
just
more ironic.
Just breathe into this rag, and it's like you're in another world.
Nothing more ironic than you saying you wouldn't know where you were, and you don't know you're in the city when you're being clipped by an ambulance. But also, this is my biggest complaint with really anything that is subsidized by the government. I don't care if you were shooting for Donnie's. Donnie used to work at the Eagle Rock cable station down the street. And I did a show on a public access show. And if we went out and shot on our $9 budget, at a certain point, someone would have said, all right, hold on. Let's let the ambulance clear and let's try it again. But now he has such disdain for his listeners and viewers. He's like, fuck them.
He needs to get in the park.
I don't care if you're doing a wedding video where you're wishing Connie and Bob the best of luck, and if that ambulance goes by, you just hold. You just hold and you pick it up, right?
Hold.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear the very end of that one more time. Can we hear that, Bald Brian?
Yeah. All right. Now let's set the stage as to exactly where we are. But sign out front. Oh boy, that's an ambulance coming by.
No, really?
probably hurt.
All right. So,
and by the way, Los Feliz and Western, not what I would call the heart of the city.
No.
Yeah.
The outskirts at best. Next one.
And I'm just now remembering that you told me it was started in 1915, but obviously it's had several incarnations during that period. Look at this right here. Everything I'm looking at, I'm just overwhelmed by it. Look at the grass and the ferns coming out of the walls on the side and the way the water falls down here. We've got a little mushroom right here. Now, back to my question.
And look at that cloud. It's taking on the shape of a paperweight.
Everything I see is filling me with wonder. I have white grass growing from the top of my head.
That's hair, Huell.
That's amazing.
That's just hair. That's
look,
just your hair.
My hand has five legs.
Those are fingers. Those are called fingers.
I can't. I'm alive. I can see music. I'm alive.
Breathe into this rag.
Oh, it's too bad Louis killed himself. all those years ago. So I don't know what happened to his cameraman, but he used to always talk. Huell used to break down the fourth wall on occasion.
All the time. Yeah. If you thought he was professional when that ambulance drove by, you should have seen him handle his camera.
Louis, why are you waving your arms at me? Your battery's running low? Okay, well, why don't you go to the vet? It would just stop and the fuzz would hit the TV. That'd be it. All right, next clip. Do we have another one?
A man and his dog, but not just any man and his dog. You're the president, owner, and CEO of the Trails Cafe. Introduce yourself to everybody, Frank.
Frank Lentz.
All right, now there's a real story behind this place and how it was given a new birth. Give us the quick history of it.
Well, some years ago, I was working down at one of the studios, television studios, because I have a real job, too.
Huell actually gets bored of his story.
And there was an old guy flipping hamburgers in here, like paper-thin hamburgers, snow cones, just, terrible food, But the experience was fantastic. You sit underneath the redwood trees, and you're like, we'd have a good time up here. We came up a few years later, and it was closed up. It was just boarded up, rolled down, and... it just wasn't looking so good. So
let's get to the chase here. You bought it, you opened it up, and you're now running a restaurant up here.
That's like Keith Richards saying, I think you've had enough. It's time to go to bed.
For the first time in my life, I'm with Huell on that.
I am too.
All that foodie bullshit. It just
you gotta
turns
take
my stomach.
A fucking long, as a raconteur.
When the food was terrible, but the experience of the food and this.
All right, bring it home now. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, as a raconteur, as a teller of stories and tales, when Huell Hauser tells you he's running out of tape, you got to take a long, hard fucking look in the mirror.
When you get the light from Huell.
When Huell Hauser gives you the fucking flashlight and says, let's wrap it up. Every night's open mic at Huell's place. That'd be funny if Huell did run open mics, because Dana and I remember this. Huell would be like, all right. Now, you have between an hour and a half and 3 hours to tell your jokes, and then the head of Eddie Cantor's going to light up. Now, when Eddie Cantor's head lights up, that means you only have about 25 to 40 more minutes before you wrap it up, okay?
Slowly bring it home.
Wow. Huell told somebody to wrap it up.
I wish I could see it because I hate this guy from the sound of his voice. And here's a review of... Let me tell you a little something about the Trails. I don't know if you've ever gone to the Trails.
I have.
If you serve...
It's free, by the way. That's why you know I've been there.
Coffee in the morning.
Right.
Don't keep your bathroom locked with a guy that doesn't know where the key is.
Right. Well, especially with that many trees around, because there's no way.
Well, think of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The more you know.
Yeah,
Dana Gould, everyone. Do I have one more? Do we have a wrap up there?
Because I was literally with my kids. Guys, we're going to Starbucks.
They have great cherry pie, though.
We have two. You want to skip to the end?
Let's hear them both.
Can we hear Meet the Mothers? I want to hear Meet the Mothers.
Here they come, bright and early in the morning. Boy, we got a whole. This is a caravan coming through here. Good morning, ladies. What's going on here this morning?
We're all just working out together.
Working out with babies and strollers. What is this group all about?
It's called Stroller Stride. It's a fitness group for moms. No. Specifically designed for pre- and postnatal women.
Stroller strides. Yep. So you get out and stride every morning with your strollers.
Yep.
Now, I saw the book Our Bodies, Ourselves, and what many people won't know is that women have a bum in their front and they throw up people with it.
No. Oh, Huell. It's called a vagina.
I don't speak Spanish, what I do know is that they have they have what I could only call a front bum, and something happens where they poop like a little dude.
Oh, that's called birth.
Again, I don't speak Spanish or German, whatever that is, but
I have some very bad news for you. That's how you landed on this planet of ours.
Well, I can't see how that would happen because I'm 6'8", 350.
I know. But, no, you weren't born with those waffle stompers on, Huell. You're a little baby, and you came from your mother's, what you call, front bung.
That is a common fallacy. I have no memories of anything before I was 18. I did some service for our country at Alamogordo Air Force Base, testing the effects of sleep deprivation on rum drinkers. And I have no memory of anything before I was 18, so I have no reason to believe that.
Well, but surely you were close with your mother, weren't you, Huell?
My mother was very, very instructive. I wouldn't necessarily call her close, but she is. I still do venture down to the root cellar every Halloween
and see
talk
what was
to
left
Mom.
Of Mom. I see mason jar, perhaps formaldehyde.
I have a whole shelf of my brother's.
All right, should we hear the last one, Bald Brian?
And we're stopping right here because you said this was probably one of the most recognizable places in Ferndale.
Yeah, if you were to come here on a Saturday or Sunday, you'll find many, many kids standing here, and usually they'll have a piece of meat or a hot dog on a stick with the string, and they're pulling the crayfish up out of the bottom of the pond here.
Now, are they supposed to do that?
No, they're not. Most of the time, they just return them back after they catch them. There's really no use for them at home.
And as a ranger, you probably look the other way. Well, you can't say that on the air, but you're not going to bust a kid for fishing with a piece of a weenie out here to catch a crawfish.
Best way to catch kids.
Just lobbing them over the plate.
I know. It's like unlimited arc softball. Dana staring at the ball. It's the size of a moon. It's been in the air for 20 minutes now. Just waiting. Wait. Don't swing. Don't shift the weight to the front foot too early. Yeah.
I see... like a line of kids just a fishing in Griffith Park, and I think ahead to the Keith Haring like beauty of their outlines when they move them away, and it's just the chalk outline of where they were, how they were found.
Huell,
it's like a subway. It's like a subway diagram by Keith Haring.
Wow, that is quite a lot more than we needed to know, Huell. Very sad, but profound.
And you're going to tell me those beautiful child came out of a woman who had a man's bum in her front.
My bad. You're right, Huell. All right, the great Huell Hauser, and, of course, the great Dana Gould. Gina,
I'm going to be in an elevator with him one day.
Oh, God. How about one more news story, and then we'll call it
a night. All right, I get sure. every 3 or 4 weeks, and now, I'll get a phone call from somebody.
I'm 10 feet from Huell Hauser.
Well, how about a little more Mel news to wrap it up? Mel Gibson has admitted in a sworn declaration that he did slap his ex, Oksana Grigorieva, but only because he felt she was hysterical and endangering their baby. Mm. Mel says, however, that he did not hit her. He just slapped her. The former couple had an argument on the night of January 6, 2010, which is currently being investigated by L.A. County as a domestic violence incident.
He should hope Sean Connery gets on as one of the jurors.
Well, it says a jury of his peers.
This guy's been a leading man in
Sean
Hollywood.
Sean Connery,
for number,
Ike Turner,
yeah. I mean,
Mike Tyson.
If I were Mel's attorney, I'd be like, look, let's face it, the barely employable guy from Sunland is hardly Mel Gibson's peer. Yeah. Now, you get me Connery, Ike Turner. I'm trying to think of some of the other famous sort of... semi-abusive husband.
Didn't Josh Brolin get in some trouble for?
I don't know. There was something like that. I'd get Brolin on there. He's probably shooting in Vancouver, but Connery, I think we could get.
Well, there is one line that I'm dying to read. Oksana says Mel punched her in the head and mouth, knocking out two of her teeth. But Mel said in a statement that the two were having an argument at home when Oksana yanked Lucia, the baby, out of her bassinet and screamed, "Stop yelling or you will make her into a retarded, brained, damaged idiot."
That's why it's great to date the foreigners. Here's why I'm such a bad human being and possible misogynist. I'm like, knocked two teeth out or knocked off two veneers? Because there's a difference. I mean, knocking a couple teeth out, that takes a good pop. The veneers, you could do with a corn dog. You know what I'm saying? That didn't get put long enough in the microwave.
If you hit somebody enough to knock out their teeth,
you'd break something.
Yeah, and you'd knock.
Isn't that when
being knocked out?
Isn't that when a slap becomes a punch when teeth are removed?
I would say yes. I know this sounds insane.
A slap
but
becomes a punch when it goes from stopping listening to me to stopping listening to me with a dirty look.
That's right. That's
no.
That's right. That's noted. That's when the slap graduates the punch.
Yeah, you get like that. Sean Connery is the doctor. Well, Mr. Gibson, according to the X-rays, somebody doesn't listen.
You already told her twice.
Yeah, I mean, Sean would want to know if she had it coming. I mean, that would be his first question, right?
Yeah. Well, that was always my theory on the Black Dahlia case.
Mm-hmm.
You find this woman in the weeds, severed in half.
Yeah.
Blood removed, organs drained.
Yeah.
60 years later, the police still don't know what she said to deserve that.
That's not funny.
No.
No.
I don't mean that.
No.
No.
All right. So Mel, by the way, they said that Mel Gibson was supposed to be in Hangover 2.
Oh, yeah. That's not going to happen. He was denied that role.
But
so they gave it instead to that... You'll never hear Bill Clinton accused of misogyny.
Right. They actually gave that particular role to Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So that'll be hilarious.
Having a nice little renaissance in a weird way. Liam
because of
is.
Taken.
Yeah, Taken. Yeah,
love that movie.
I did too. I mean, it's old as time. They take take his hot daughter, and he's going after him. Yeah. And everyone loves that part in the. And there's always that part somewhere at the end of Act 1, beginning of Act 2, where he's on the phone with the bad guy, and he goes, drop her off now, and I won't have to find you and kill you. And everyone, the bad guys always sort of look at each other like, who is this guy? But we as moviegoers know, oh, yes. Yes,
do they ever try to pull some reverse psychology? Like, take her, don't take her, whatever.
He has a very strange way of talking, Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
He overpronunciates his R's.
Yeah.
I will find you.
Right.
And I will say words with R's like railroad track.
Yeah. If I were him, I would do, Gina, I'd be like, hey, you can keep her. She's got crabs and HPV. And you know what? She's really my stepkid. We don't share any blood. And, you know, let's say, as a daughter, she was about a 4. She wasn't the top of her class. She used to talk back a lot. I was this close to knocking her veneers off.
Maybe I can straighten her out.
Yeah, Sean Connery came by the house, smacked her around a little bit. We have the same kind of accent, sort of. And, keep her.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Good. Just taking the garbage out. Go ahead, do what you want with it.
Taking the garbage.
Thin the herd.
Yeah, worked out nicely. What you call win-win, Haseem. Have fun. Yeah, and then at a certain point, he'd be like, what is, No! No, I will return her. And you can have fun. Yeah, her and how much cash? Not a penny over 10,000. Not a penny.
Click.
Yeah. Oh. What?
Get
call
it back.
Hit redial. Yes, hit star. Yes. Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry. The calling card function you've dialed is not in service.
Listen, $15,000. That is it. I cannot do my ATM will not spit out anymore.
If you think I'll take that trollop back for $15,000, you're deeply mistaken.
Hey, you'll get your daughter $20,000 in McMood. What you? Bring me the keys to the Cadillac. Okay.
You know
92 Eldorado.
You know what I'd really like?
Mm.
I'm only going to tell you one time. But if you could find, like, one of those long raincoats made of suede.
Najir, are you listening?
Possibly we'd have a deal.
So,
I don't think that you people would have access to baseball jackets with too many patches on them. But if you could.
So, let's see. Bring a daughter, $15,000, El Dorado, and a full-length duster.
I'd also like...
And what else? Knee pads!
If it's not too cold, I won't want the duster. But I would very much like a Hard Rock Cafe London varsity jacket.
All right. L.A., Tokyo, New York, what on the back?
Tokyo or London.
Okay. All right. It is. It shall. It be.
Have you seen those new pogo sticks that are hydraulic?
Oh, Nasir. Oh, such a mistake.
And I want to take magic lessons.
I don't know how to say it in a Middle Eastern accent. How do you say Marshall Brodeen and sound like a terrorist?
Mahal Houdin.
Mahal Houdin!
Right. I want to meet David Blaine.
All right. The great Dana Gould, everybody. Well, Brian, plug for you.
You know, actually, thank you. I wanted to say, I thought of it when Larry Miller was in here and Dana Gould's here. They're both my benefit. They both played in my benefit. And Gina was there and all of us were here. It was fantastic. And I realized it was almost exactly a year ago. So thanks to everyone who donated and thanks to Dana and Larry.
Look at Paul Bryan, still going strong a year in.
The Wilshire E-Bell Theater.
That's right. It's a good time. So thanks. I really appreciate it.
All right. You can find our basic cable commentary up.
And there you have it, Huel's Jewels from 2010.
What a great episode.
I loved it. What a great episode of The Adam Carolla Show with Dana Gould, but also what a great episode of Carolla Classics that we just played for everybody for this Sunday, June 23rd. Now, Gio, if people want to hear the full episodes from these clips, where do they go?
Podcast One Premium, the home of all your favorite podcasts. They have the entire Adam Carolla Show archive. Any of these clips we played, except for 447, you pretty much heard all that one. You can go and find an entire episode. They're as funny as the clips we play. It's just due to time constraints, we have to cut something. So if you want to hear the full thing, Podcast One Premium.
All right, we'll see you next weekend. The Adam Carolla Show returns tomorrow with Dexter from The Offspring. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.